Good morning, everyone. Yay, that sounds better. It's more encouraging to me. I always like what our associate pastor, Josh Sweet, says when he preaches. He always says, there's no other place I'd rather be than right here with you guys, with the body of Christ, with our church family. And that's how I feel this morning, that we get to be together. We get to worship the Lord. We get to praise Him. We get to focus our hearts on what He has done for us, and as we, even this morning, get to just really focus in just on what He did for us on the cross, and that to be reminded of what he has done for us on the cross. And so glad you guys are here, so glad that you are joining us online and joining us in our overflow rooms, and so we get to be together. So hopefully you brought your Bible. You have your Bible? Anyone bring it? Okay, good. Always bring your Bible. One of the freedoms of our country is you get to go anywhere and purchase a Bible. You can have a Bible. So we should be using it. We should be thankful for that. We should be reading it. And as we bring it to church and study together. So I hope you brought your Bible. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. We are going to finish chapter 2 this morning. We're in this last passage of chapter 2 and just the last few verses. So we're in our third and final week of this closing passage. We've been in this closing passage of chapter 2. And so what Paul is doing, he's writing this letter to the church or the churches at Colossae and encouraging them, helping them focus their eyes on Jesus, warning them about some dangers that have entered the church. And so in this last passage of chapter 2, Paul has come down very hard against the false teaching of the Gnostics. These Gnostics, these false teachers that had kind of wormed their way into the church, were spreading lies. They were teaching a false doctrine. So Paul is pointing the believers in the Colossian churches back to the truth of the gospel and back to the truth of who they are in Christ. He was trying to remind them that who they were in Jesus Christ, because these false teachers were taking their eyes off of who they were in Christ. And so what Paul is reminding the church, what Paul is reminding these believers, is to be vigilant. He's saying you need to be vigilant, not to be listening to these philosophies and empty deceit of these false teachers. We saw that in verse 8 of chapter 2. He is reminding them to also have veracity, which is believing daily, a habitual observance of the truth of who they are in Christ, that they are complete in Christ. I hope that you have been hearing that for the last 3 weeks. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are complete in Christ. You have also been filled in Christ. He was reminding the believers that they have been filled in Christ, that their hearts had been cleansed, not physically like circumcision, but their hearts had been cleansed by Jesus Christ. Their hearts were cleansed. We saw that in verse 11. Also, that their forgiveness was complete. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? You have been forgiven. Amen? Think about that. Your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ has canceled the record of debt that stood against them, nailing it to the cross, which we see in verse 14. They were complete in Christ. If you are a believer, guess what? You're complete in Christ. Are you starting to hear that? Are you believing that? Are you having veracity as you believe that daily? So, if they were complete in Christ, why were they listening to these false teachers? Why were these false teachers coming in? Why were they believing these lies? These false teachers had come in, and what they were saying is they were saying, yeah, that's great about Christ, but to be super spiritual, you need Christ plus a bunch of other things. This is what they were believing. They were wanting to be spiritual. They were wanting to grow in Christ, and they were seeing these false teachers come in, and they were saying, well, yeah, Christ is great, but to be super, super spiritual, you need to have Christ plus a bunch of other things. And this was very dangerous, and this was an unbiblical teaching. And so Paul, in the closing passage of chapter 2, he's focusing on the dangers of three false teachings. Okay, does anyone remember the first one that we talked about? My wife is getting it. Good, because I reviewed with my family last night. All right. What's the first false teaching that we talked about? Starts with an L. Legalism. Thank you. Okay, so the first one that he mentioned that we discussed 2 weeks ago was legalism. Okay, the second one, which was last week, which is kind of a weird one. Thank you, mysticism. Okay, so he's focused on two false teachings, and we're going to hit the third one this week. Legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is this. It's the religion of human achievement. Christ plus fulfilling a bunch of, now this is the key part, man-made rules. Okay, that's the key. We are to obey the commandments of God, yes. But what legalism is a bunch of man-made, quote, religious rules. And that's what legalism is. When we get wrapped up into trying to follow a bunch of man-made rules plus Christ, that's legalism. Now, we have seen in Scripture and in our own lives, here's what legalism brings. It brings zero joy to our lives, right? It brings no joy because we constantly fail. Legalism in itself cannot truly stop our sinful nature. Legalism leads also to pride within the church. Legalism is dangerous. Okay, the second one was mysticism. Here's mysticism. And I think that word, sometimes we go like, I don't deal with mysticism. That sounds like we're, you know, in the occult or something like that. No, but here's what mysticism is. It's a chasing of a deeper or higher religious experience, something that goes beyond our human intellect and natural senses. It's the idea that we see these experiences that maybe other people are having or they're talking about, and we think, well, maybe I'm not spiritual enough. Maybe that's why I'm not having these experiences. And so we go after these feelings or these experiences that someone is talking about. The Gnostics, they were talking about how they worshiped angels. They were talking about how they were receiving some brand new word from the Lord, which is completely unbiblical. And so the believers there were saying, well, why aren't we having these experiences? Maybe I need to chase after these things too. That's dangerous. That is mysticism. If we kind of fast forward to 2020, I mean, think about the things that we do. We see things on TV. We see things on, we see from preachers on TV, and they're doing all these crazy things, and we're thinking, why am I not having those experiences? Maybe someone talks about how they were just caught up in some thing, and they're so, it was so spiritual, and we're like, well, why am I not having those? And we start wondering if we are missing something. I was even thinking last night, as I was reviewing this, is that some of us, some believers, we hop from church to church, don't we? Trying to find a feeling that seems more religious. And it could pan out in lots of different ways. It could be like, well, that band plays my favorite songs and I just get this great feeling. Some of us, it's really like, I just need to be in a place that has really tall ceilings and stained glass windows because I feel so much more religious sitting on a hard pew. I mean, we really think through these things and we hop from church to church because that Sunday I felt something, this Sunday I felt this, and we don't ever commit to just finding the body of Christ and plugging in. We're chasing after some feeling, some higher religious experience. Mysticism is dangerous. And so this morning, we come to the third dangerous teaching that these Gnostic false teachers were bringing to the church. It's found in verses 20 through 23. And so we're going to see the dangers of asceticism. And that sounds exciting, doesn't it? I'm writing that down in your notes. Oh, the dangers of asceticism. Yes, this is a false teaching, and you're going to be amazed at how it applies to our lives even today. So let's read verses 20 through 23, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to dive into this passage. It's going to be awesome. All right, verse 20 says this, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations?" Verse 21, regulations like, "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. Verse 23, "These have indeed an appearance," very key word there that we're going to talk about this morning, "they have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we can be here this morning. Thank you so much that we have the freedom to come to worship you, to praise you for your love for us, for what you've done for us on the cross, that we get to worship and sing praises to you. Thank you that we get to open up your word to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us, that we would not be distracted, that we would focus into your word. Thank you for this church. I pray that this message, that the hope and the joy of the gospel would go out beyond this place as we stream this online. I pray that many would come to hear the hope that's found in you, Jesus. And I pray this morning that you would encourage us. Lord, I know I have been convicted in this passage in my own spiritual walk, and I pray that this morning as we are convicted, we would repent, that we would turn our eyes to you, that we would see that we are complete in you, that we have hope in you, and that we can bring hope to this world by living for you and spreading the name of Jesus and the gospel. Thank you. Thank you that we get to be here this morning and study your word. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, are you guys excited? You ready for the dangers of asceticism? Sounds like a college class in seminary. I'm sorry, but it's exactly what this is. Okay, so verses 20 through 23, write in your notes, you got the dangers of asceticism, all right, you're ready, you're pumped, you're ready to go. So what we've done the last couple of weeks is I've kind of simply defined what these false teachings are so that we can have a better understanding, even today as we also deal with these things in our life. So here we go, the very simple definition of asceticism, and you might want to write this down so that it gets embedded in your brain and you have an understanding of it. It's this. It is the rejection of good and beautiful in the pursuit of God. Religious self-denial. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about this. We're going to see what this means. It's the rejection of good and beautiful. It's basically the rejection of the great, beautiful things that God has created for us to enjoy in the pursuit of God. Religious self-denial. Basically, to deny oneself of the things that God has created in order to become or appear more religious. Kind of sounds strange when we think about it that way. Well, why would anyone do that? Why would anyone reject the things that God has created to give to us to enjoy? But that's what and that's why this is a dangerous false teaching. Now, we have seen this throughout history. I'm sure not most of us in this room have taken, you know, hours of college on Christian history, but some of you probably have dove into that through Sunday school and in your own study. But we have seen throughout history, throughout Christianity, in the name of religion, people have said, well, I'm going to reject these things that God has given in the name of religion so that I can become more religious. It doesn't sound like that makes sense when we talk about it, when I say it out loud. But many in the name of religion, some have rejected marriage, some have rejected God's creation around us. Some have rejected the sexual intimacy within a marriage. Some have even rejected their self by mutilating their own self and their own bodies, all in the name of religion. What is interesting is this rejection of self for the purpose of righteousness, you know what that is? That is a self-made religion that is not of God. And we need to understand that. Now, we have seen throughout church history, there's been groups of people of men that have left their communities. They've left the relationships of the people that God has put around them. They've left the body of Christ, the church, and they've traveled out into the desert to live the rest of their lives in caves, all in the name of religion, becoming more religious. They left the beauty of what God had given them. They left ministering to others. They left the great commission of actually going out and preaching the name of Christ and the gospel. They left the beauty of God's creation around them all in the name and be very diligent. This self-denial can actually, it can be very dangerous. In fact, one scholar stated that denying oneself of the gifts from God actually can bring fleshly temptation. It heightens fleshly temptation, and it also produces a joyless, defensive approach to life. I mean, that's what we do when we deny ourselves what God has given us. Think about what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You guys believe in what Jesus said? He came to give us life. He came to give us joy. Now, we know that we live in a broken world and we deal with our sinful, old sinful nature, and we battle that. But in Jesus Christ, Christ has made us complete, right? He's made us, he's filled us up with him. And he's given us relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. He's given us incredible marriages that if they're centered on Jesus, that we can find joy. He's given us peace that passes all understanding. He's given us life abundantly. So why would we deny those things in the name of religion? You see, in Christ we have joy, we have peace. We can have fulfilling relationships, we can have fulfilling families, marriages. We can enjoy food together. Anyone like to eat food? You like to make food, serve food, to sit around a table and share food with each other? Does anyone love to go out in the creation of God and walk through the trails and hike up to a waterfall and see the beauty of God and walk through the wildflowers? Does anyone love to use the gifts that God has given them, whether it's music or art or drama or whatever God has you doing, woodworking, whatever? Do you love to be able to use that to bring glory to God? Christ gave us all those things. Anyone love the fall? Yes. I mean, I can't. This week was awesome. I know we're back in the 80s this week a little bit, but man, I'm so ready for fall. It's my favorite time of the year. It is so incredible. It's when I met my wife and we had our first date on October 8th, and we were on our campus at OBU, and the leaves were changing, and there's nothing better than fall. I know. The smell of pumpkins, it's good. I bought some little pumpkin air fresheners all through the church, just that's kind of for me during the week, but I hope you enjoy them as well. I love fall. I love what God has created. I know that it is broken. We live in a broken world, but I can still, as I wait to be with him for eternity, I can still enjoy what God has given us, life abundantly. And yet, why is the church, why are God's people oftentimes intimidated by those who come along and say, "We don't need those things. All in the name of religion. Deny yourself of those things that God has given you. All in the name to become more spiritual, uber spiritual." Why are we intimidated by those? Why do we look at people like that and go, "I wonder what? Are they more spiritual than me? Am I missing something? What am I missing?" Now, does that mean, just kind of a side note, God can call you to places that are tough. God calls missionaries. We support some of the most incredible families that we've had in our church, and some of them are called to very difficult places. Very difficult places where they are living with the people that God has called them to. God has called them, and guess what they have? They have joy and peace from that calling. They know that's where they're supposed to be, and yes, they have had to give up certain luxuries because of where they live and because of the people that they're ministering to. God can call you to those places, and we must follow the call on our life. And what happens is when God calls us, we don't think about that. Yeah, things are tough, but we know that that's exactly where we need to be, and we have joy and peace as we're ministering to those people that he's called us. But what I'm talking about here is a religious pride that is false, that is fake, that brings a false humility, that is self-denial of what God has given us, all in the name to appear more religious. So why do we look at people like that and say, maybe I'm missing something. So what must we do? What must we always do? We must look at Scripture, right? We've got to go to Scripture. So we see this false teaching come across a podcast. We see this false teaching come across our televisions. And we see this false teaching come across what someone tells us and how religious they are. We must always go back to Scripture and see what the Lord says. So as we go and look at Scripture for our answers to these questions, look at what Paul says. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20 again. He says this, "If with Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you died to the elemental spirits of the world. You died to those false teachings. Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations?" Which means this, if you are a true believer, if Christ, you have put off your old flesh, you have been made a new creation, you are filled and complete in Christ, you have died to the elemental spirits of the world. So why? Why would you still submit to these man-made, literally what Paul is saying here, evil, demonic teachings, and submit to regulations such as, look at verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as if as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. Did you see the word there? Human teachings, not God's teachings. If Christ, or in Christ, we have been set free from man-made rules that are simply there to promote an appearance of spirituality. Let me repeat that, okay? In Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, we have been set free from man-made rules that are simply there to promote an appearance of spirituality. This idea of asceticism, that crazy word, when what it means is it was made up by man as an appearance of wisdom in promoting a self-made religion. These are words from Paul, okay? Are you seeing those on there? Words from Paul. Made up by man as an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. You see, through the years, there have been some in Christian history that have viewed that the body is evil, and so they try to deny themselves of the body. Like I said, there were those that lived in caves, and when you study some of those, they were said to have never washed their clothes ever. There was a man named Simeon. He lived around 390 to 459. Do you know where he spent the last 36 years of his life? Not in a cave, but on top of a 50-foot pillar, so that his body could experience the elements of the weather. 36 years he lived there. Simeon, you're so spiritual. We might think that sounds crazy, but verse 23 is where I want us to kind of focus in as believers today. Look at verse 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, promoting self-made religion. These have an appearance. I'm sure people walk by and it's like, good grief, look at this guy. He's been up for 15 years already. What a religious guy. All in the name of religion. It sure appeared religious, I guess, to some. But that's what they were doing. They said, I'm gonna appear like I am on some spiritual plane. And he was on some plane for sure, up there. You see, the key in all of these false teachings that we've been looking at, legalism, checking off a box of man-made rules, mysticism, claiming to have religious experiences that others don't. I experience much more than you do. That kind of attitude. Asceticism, self-denial, it all comes down to one phrase that we must truly let sink in even today, and that phrase is an appearance of wisdom. An appearance of spirituality. All of these false teachings were designed to give those who follow them this appearance of religion, appearance of spirituality. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, do you like to be honest with yourself? It's kind of tough, isn't it? If we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have all struggled with this in our Christian walks, okay? Now you're like, I'm not going up on a 50-foot pillar. I'm not going to go live in a cave. No, think about it. If you're going to be honest, we have all struggled with all three of these false teachings in our life. We have all struggled with the desire to appear spiritual, right? We want people to think that we've got it all together. We want people to think that we're religious, because especially if you've grown up in the church, if you've grown up in the church or you're involved in a church, you want people to think that you're spiritual. And so we've struggled. And so we've tried all these things. We've tried checking off the boxes. We've tried doing those things. We've tried to chase after religious experiences so that we have something to talk about that someone else might not have. We've tried to deny ourselves different things just so that we can say, look at what I've done. Look at what I've given up. We have our religious apparel. We have our religious coffee mugs. We have our religious Christian art in our homes. We have our 15 translations of the Bible. We all have our religious boxes that we check off. We all have our current religious authors and podcasters that we love to talk about and what I'm following with them. We promote the correct people. We seek after these experiences that we hear about. We chase after the religious fads, the latest religious fads. And let me tell you what, there are religious fads. If you've been around long enough, it's like, oh, well, that author called us to do this. We shouldn't do this anymore. And we chase after that. And then we grow weary of that. We try something else. Do this and do that. Don't do this for 30 days. Don't eat this. Do eat that. Don't listen to this. Only listen to that. Deny yourselves of these things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All for what? To have an appearance of religion. And boy, we like our appearance, don't we? Look at what we live in. We live in self-promotion culture. It's all about, look at me. I mean, we have 15 different social media platforms where we put pictures of ourselves. It's all about how we look. And if you really want to get honest, we post things and say, look at what I'm doing now. Guess what? Usually that's gone in 30 days. You're on to something new. We all struggle with this if we're going to be honest. None of these things have any value of stopping the flesh. That's what the end of chapter 2 says. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. I'm talking about these things that we're doing. It's only Christ that can stop the flesh. It's only in Christ that we can be forgiven. It's only in Christ that we can truly be complete. You see, we're not much different, really, than the Colossian believers when we think about it. We do all these things to keep up an appearance of spirituality when many of us, under the surface, what are we? We're hurting, right? We're hurting. We're struggling with hidden sins that are deep within our heart. Yet, we are too scared to deal with them, talk about them, pray about them, confess them, because all we see is the other people around us that look really spiritual. I can't go talk to them. They've got it all together. They just bragged about some cool experience they had. Guys. I'm telling you, one of my favorite things this week, you know what it was? It's Wednesday night, men's group, and sitting there as about 15 men were in that room. We all broke up into small groups, and everybody was talking. Everybody was sharing. Everybody was praying. We did an evaluation over the last few months of men's group, and you might be surprised at this, wives, ladies. You know what the men wanted more of? They wanted more time to talk with each other. They didn't want more teaching at them. They wanted more time to spend sharing with each other. And I think that is amazing, that we're able to finally break down some barriers and start confessing, start talking, start struggling together. Start ripping off these appearances of spirituality and start looking at what it really truly means to be a follower of Jesus, realizing that it is only Christ that we can do anything in the spiritual walk. It is only Christ that can completely, truly forgive. And what an amazing thing when we can start taking off these appearances of religion. I'm not saying that all of us are extreme in these areas, but probably most of us struggle in some way. We've all struggled in our Christian walks. Which is why, as we close this chapter, I think it is time for Tough Questions with Pastor Chris. Don't let the beautiful sea ocean make you feel any more comfortable, okay? It's designed to be that way. These are going to be tough, and they're meant to be tough. They're tough for me, and I'm basically they're tough because I've thought through them myself for my own life. They're not meant to be easy. They're made to really kind of look into our hearts, make us feel uncomfortable to the point that I hope that we could confess and repent of sins in our life. They're designed to cause us to look deeper below the surface so that we can allow Christ to continue in his incredible process of sanctification in our hearts. So here's some questions. They're meant for you. They're meant for children, teenagers, adults. And they're meant for you to truly ask the Lord and ask and seek him in these areas. First question is this. Do we find ourselves working hard to keep up an appearance of spirituality? Is our greatest desire to look spiritual, or is our greatest desire to have a heart for God? Because there is a difference. And maybe some of us haven't wanted to figure out the difference in that. What is most important to you? Loving God with all your heart, or appearing to be religious and have it all together in front of your friends, in front of your church, in front of your social circles? My prayer is these questions would lead to repentance. And if you've grown up in the church, this might be even harder to deal with, because we're kind of taught as we're young and as we move into junior high, as we move into high school, college, we're taught to sure look like you got it all together. Well, if you've been a Christian for 40 years, then you should have it all together by now, right? What is your heart's desire? Are you more concerned about that what people think about you spiritually, or are you more concerned about what God is doing in your heart and chasing after him, growing in him? Question two, do you find yourself longing for some religious experience? Is that your desire, that you could just have some cool religious experience? Do you find yourself idolizing a person whom you think is more spiritual than yourself because of things they've talked about? Do you find yourself constantly feeling like you are missing something spiritually? I think that's a real question. Let me remind you of something. As a believer, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. If you want to grow and expand God has filled you up to expand that. If you want to grow in that, I gave you three words last week: abide in him. Don't go chasing after some experience. Just abide in him. Walk with him. In my quiet time, my devotion this week, I'm in the book of 1 John. I was reminded how many times John says, abide in him, abide in him. If you want to walk in the light, abide in him. If you don't want to walk in the darkness, abide in him. Abide in him. Walk with him. Stop chasing after some experience that you see on TV or read in a book from someone else. Just abide in him and walk with him. Question three. Do you have a false humility? Do you have a spiritual pride disguised as humility? Look at me, I'm so humble. Look at me, I'm so spiritual. I don't do all these things because I am spiritual. Do you walk around with this spiritual false humility? Usually that's because you're following man-made rules that you think is making you look more spiritual, and you love to tell others about how spiritual you are because of these things you're doing. Spiritual pride. Question 4, do you find yourself very judgmental of others? Saying things like, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they went there. I can't believe they were hanging out with that person. I can't believe. I would never. I can't believe. Do you find yourself constantly saying these things? Because if you are, you are in risk of being in a place of spiritual pride based on legalism, based on these things. Do you find yourself feeling like you are the anointed religious referee to determine someone else's spiritual maturity? Is that our place? No. There is one judge, and that is the Lord. That is God. You think, those crazy Colossians, can't believe they were into legalism and mysticism and asceticism, those crazy words. No, we're right here with them. We're struggling with the same types of things. Are these getting personal at all? Or am I the only one that struggled through these? So the question is, as we're coming to the close this morning of this message and chapter 2, as believers, how do we combat these things in our lives? Because if you said yes to any of these, or you said like, yeah, some of these I've struggled with my whole life, some of these I'm dealing with right now, how do we combat these things in our lives? The answer to legalism, the answer to mysticism, the answer to asceticism is to remember daily who we are in Christ, to remember, to believe that we are complete in Christ. The answer to these problems is a continual realization of the grace of Christ. Write that down. Continual realization of the grace of Christ. If you want to combat these areas, these false teachings, these things that sneak into the church, that sneak into our life, the answer is to continually go back to where it all began for you and for me, and that is the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross. Can you remember your life before Jesus? Can you remember when Christ called you? Can you remember that you wanted to fall before him, thanking him because of the sin that he forgave in your life? We need to go back daily and remember and be at the foot of the cross. It seems like for Christians, it seems like for the church, the longer that we're Christians, we move farther and farther away from the foot of the cross, and we move into this spiritual pride and the spiritual legalism, and we're doing all these man-made, self-made religious things. We need to be at the foot of the cross to stay there, to realize the amazing grace of Christ and who we are in Christ. All of what we do here as the body of Christ, our worship together, our doctrine, our theology, our Bible studies together, our men's and women's group, our youth ministry, our serving together, our fight clubs, the local church is meant to keep us at the foot of the cross, to keep us from drifting, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we do not drift, so that we can be a light to this community, a light to this world. Will you be honest with yourself this morning? Do spiritual to repent? Do you need to confess sin? Spiritual pride? Do you need to turn from spiritual legalism, from mysticism, from asceticism? Remember, your forgiveness is complete in Christ. Confess, and he is faithful to forgive. Jesus for the And maybe you are feeling first time. He is calling you. You can feel that call. Will you respond in faith today? Do you need Christ as your Savior? Will you respond? Let's pray. God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the gift of salvation in Christ. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, let us be reminded of who we were apart from you, and then be so thankful for who we are in Jesus, that we are complete, that our forgiveness is complete, that we are completely filled with you. Lord, help us to fight daily to have veracity in remembering who we are in Jesus, to continually understand the realization of your grace, to be at the foot of the cross, to guard ourselves from spiritual pride, legalism, man-made rules, just to have an appearance of wisdom, an appearance of religion. Lord, you are about the heart. Lord, I pray that we would be able to confess our sin this morning, that we'd be able to repent of our sin this morning. Your word is alive, it is truth, it is active, and so it goes deep within our souls. So Lord, as we are feeling your word penetrate our hearts, Lord, let us respond to that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your complete forgiveness. Thank you for salvation in you. We worship you this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.